This is our little introduction right here, and I just want to turn your attention to the very middle of it. There's two versions of the same verse, but out of the Message version, it says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And this is interesting because in the New Testament, especially in Jewish culture, you know, when we hear eternal life, a lot of times we just think of time. A lot of times we think of forever, and which is true. The Lord does want us to have a forever mentality. It's a mentality and a vision of ourselves that starts now and doesn't end. There is no ending. And that's true. But also in the Jewish culture, an eternal life meant a full life. It meant a life that was dynamic and every area of life was touched by God in some special way. And so when I think about this growth track and when I think about the time we're going to spend learning, not just about this community, but ourselves and the way we can situate ourselves in the community, I think all in all, it's to better enrich an eternal life. So we're going to have that eternal mindset going forward. So the growth track is comprised of four specifically designed monthly events in the following pages. So if you want to step to the next page, it's kind of a thick chart. And there you'll have a detailed kind of layout of each of the four parts of our growth track. And we've been hearing them already, but there's just, you know, the one-word headlines to help you remember. But it's connect, follow, discover, and engage. And we're going to talk a little bit about how they not just work in succession, but they work in tandem, kind of with how we want to approach that. And on the next page, you'll see the table of contents. And right there is where you'll be able to, if you haven't already, if you can grab a pen and fill out that information. And it says this book belongs to. And this is going to have not only your answers that we're going to work through the book, but there's a section should be at the end of every subheading or the end of every section with a place for you to write notes or thoughts or ideas, stuff that comes to you, and that may be personal. So if you guys can write your information right there, and if you happen to lose your book, we want it to get returned back to you. And up at the top, you'll see where all the study guides start, and we have an appendix at the end, which we'll use later on. Okay? So let's go ahead and start. If you can turn to page 9. Let me get up my notes real quick. Sorry. This is a little hard when your food's going down. I'm not going to lie. So we did work through some of this earlier in October. Was it October? I don't remember. Yes, last year. And Les pretty much led every single class. And what we're going to do, and from here on out, not just with this month, but in the following growth months to come, we are going to want some of the faces of this community to be teaching and sharing this information, okay? And the reason for that is because the church is made up of people. A lot of times we think of the square room, we think of these four walls, we think of a place, we think of a service, a time, and all that, yes, makes up what we do, but our church and our community is made up of people, and we like to see as many faces as possible. So as we continue throughout the growth month and we finish, there might be a place for you to come up and share something, not just information off of a book, but something personal that has touched you. And that's what we're going to start. That's what I'm going to start off doing anyway. Part one is our purpose, and it says, let there be real harmony among you so there won't be any splits in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So I remember when we first started coming to the journey. Wait, do we have time? Yeah, when we first started coming to the journey, this was over 10 years ago now. Giselle and I had first gotten married, and we had been connected to another church, and after we got married, we kind of stopped going. I was in ministry, but I took some time off if you've been here for a while, you've kind of heard our story, but we took some time off to concentrate on our marriage, and she was having the baby, and it was about six to eight months or so where we weren't going to church at all, and honestly, we weren't doing anything spiritually related at home. And it's not like we felt disconnected from God or anything like that, but we hadn't made an effort to be connected and to get plugged into any type of community. And Giselle was like constantly bugging me about going to visit this church called The Journey, okay? And of course I knew about it because Les and I have known each other from a previous church. And we were connected in that way. So we already knew him. And he was actually with us during a certain part of our life. But we knew he had started a church over here in Tomball. And honestly, we were living in Houston. And the first thought that came to mind was just too far. It was just going to be too far of a drive. It was at least a 45-minute drive over here. And she kept bugging. She was like, we need to go visit. And then so finally one day, I actually was called by Les's nephew at the time, I think. I was called by Les's nephew to come and help out with kind of a grand opening service. And I helped out with the music or something. So we finally, somehow the door opened. And it's almost like God forced us to come that one week. And I remember walking into this place and feeling... And not just from the people, specifically from Les and from Krisha, a sense of welcoming. It was a sense of home and belonging that we had never felt in a church setting before. And I couldn't explain it. I really couldn't put words to it, but it just felt as if we fit here. And we just haven't left since. There's no reason to now. He hasn't offended me. I mean, he's offended me quite a bit, but not enough to leave. But... and I think all of us have had a similar sense of that, being just fitting in or feeling like this is home. There's something about, you know, not physically this place, but knowing that you are among family, right? And to follow that up, I want to quickly share our purpose statement and why we exist as a church, which I'm going to read right now. It says, "The Journey Church exists to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, to see them transformed into who he has created them to be, and to see them fulfill what he's created them to do. The journey equals transform people, transforming the world around them." And I hadn't really picked up on this, but our purpose statement is kind of threefold. Where we hear the gospel and we hear the salvation message that Jesus is saving us into. And then not only that, but he's also transforming us in the process. And ultimately bringing us to some sort of spiritual fulfillment. And it's not a fulfillment that we feel on the inside, but it's a purpose and design that God has for us to fulfill on the outside. And what's interesting to note is that a lot of times there's a lot of spiritual wisdom. There's a lot of, how can I put this? There's a lot of motivational speakers and coaches whose aim is to get you to try and experience and get to some sort of spiritual fulfillment. And skipping over these first two parts that God had set in place from the beginning of time, which was a gospel that would save us back to himself. And then this part in the middle that's very hard. And when we're confronted with the parts of ourselves that we don't like, or when we have to take time to think about our strengths, it could be very scary. And a lot of us shy away from that part of it. But here at The Journey, and this is why Les, he's mentioned in church and stuff before, we are a transformational church. And you kind of hear that... you kind of hear that word thrown around. Sometimes you'll hear things like missional churches. You'll hear other things, maybe evangelistic churches. You'll hear other things. But the Journey Church exists as a transformational church. And the reason why I think that is because transformation is radical. There's not any transformation that is not radical. Okay? And let me explain it. If Ron was to call me up one day and say, "Steve, I really feel like the Lord is telling me to buy you a boat," okay, I would accept it humbly, right? I don't know where I would put it. I have to park it somewhere. But it would be, yes, okay. And then Ron, Ron says, "Okay, I bought the boat. You just meet me, and we'll go pick it up." And so we go, and we're, you know, we're going down there, and we get somewhere and we're going to buy, and we walk up on this boat, and it's like totally old, this totally old looking boat falling apart. He found a good deal on it on Craigslist. Right. And I'm like, okay, it's like all rusted out. There's holes in the hull. There's a lot of stuff going right. And I, And of course, I just hug Ron and I thank him. Thanks, Ron. And I know this boat's going to take a lot of work, right? And so what's going to happen is that I can decide I'm either going to throw the boat away because it's useless, or I can look at the boat as something with potential. I can see me and my family going out on Lake Conroe or something on this boat, enjoying this boat for what it was meant to do. And so what I would do is over the next several months, I don't know how long it would take, but what I would do is inventory what I needed to fix or what I felt like needed to get replaced, what I thought, how the boat needed to be transformed, okay? And little by little, I would replace those boards on the boat, on the hull, and then maybe I would change out the motor, and then little by little, I would do that, and maybe it's working. So after about a year or so, I get it on the water, and it works. And then maybe something else breaks because it's an old boat, and then maybe something else breaks, I have to replace that. Something else breaks, we have to replace that. And by the time you know it, every single piece of that boat has been replaced. So the question is the boat the same or is it a different boat? Is it the same boat that Ron bought me? And anytime I share that story, I'm going to say, look, check out this boat that Ron bought me. I'm not going to say it's a different boat, even though every single piece of it has changed. It had been transformed radically. The same thing happens to our bodies in on a cellular level. Is they say that it takes about 7 years or so, for your body to regenerate itself completely. So you know how some cells die off and they get regenerated? Some cells die off. Every single cell in your body that makes up tissue and organs and everything gets regenerated about 7 years. So every 7 years, you're like a completely different person. That is radical to me anyway. Transformation is not on a small level, okay? And when God begins to change us and transform us, it's something when the world sees it, it should be blowing people's minds, right? And just that in and of itself is a witness, but it's us being transformed by what the Lord's doing radically, and out of that, transforming the world around us. It's a going around, not seeing people who are broken and people who need fixing, but seeing potential in every single person, knowing that if we allow God to do the same thing in us, we want to see everybody else radically transformed for the better. Amen? All right. Now, on top of being a transformational church, we also accept something else in what's called the Great Commission. I'm going to read out of Matthew, the second verse where it says, the God of the universe has invited us to be part of his mission. And in verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we are a transformational church, and we're helping transform people who transform the world around them. But at the same time, joining in a mission, and we talked a little bit about this morning about what life on mission looks like. It's about displaying the glory of God while sharing the gospel. And that's just not vocally, right? It is how we are displaying the gospel, living out the gospel in our life for people to see. And God is a God that is on mission, and he's been on mission since the beginning of time. I feel like I'm preaching, but I'm kind of getting into this. Okay, hold on. We're going to get to, because this is just the first page, but we're going to go through every part, okay? God is a God that has been on mission since the beginning of time. He sent forth his word, and things were created. And then generations pass, and he sends forth his word in himself, in the flesh of Jesus Christ, and creates something, the church. And what his desire is to send us out with his word, right? To create something to transform the world around us. And then at the end of time, when the book of Revelation describes Jesus coming back, it's not like with machine guns, and it's not, he's coming back with a mission, but he's using a double-edged sword that comes out of his mouth, which the scriptures describe as his word. So it's his word going out all the time. And he invites us into that mission. So We're transformational, and we're also on mission, okay? And at the Journey Church, we are focused on helping people. First blank. First blank. We're focused on helping people in four ways. The first is to know God. Know God. The second is to become transformed. The third is discover purpose. And the fourth is make a difference. So we have know God, become transformed, discover purpose, make a difference. So we're going to go through each one of those, and some of this information is going to overlap. So what I'm going to do is skip some of it on some parts, and Giselle's actually going to come up and join me in a little bit and talk about something else. All right, but let's turn the page to page 10, and let's talk about knowing God and what that means. So there are three ways that we help people know God here at the Journey. And this is going to be another blank, three blanks. The first are weekend services. The second is journey groups. And the third is missions. And on this part, I'm going to spend more time talking about our weekend services. I'm going to skip over the journey groups, and then we'll talk a little bit about the missions part, okay? So our weekend services serve people at all stages in their spiritual journey, including the lost and unchurched. And our weekend service focuses on four values. And before I give you those really quick, I could see, and when I go on Facebook, I can read it, and when I read some blogs, some church blogs, and people post some things. Recently, I read this post. It was a pretty lengthy post from a young lady who actually works for a ministry here locally, but she's made it a point not to join church. And she's become very, and you see this a lot. It's like my generation, but you see a lot of people getting, I don't know what the right word is, not upset or angry, but it's almost a disillusionment with what the church has to offer. And a lot of times we can walk into a church and immediately try and pick out the hypocrisy, right? What we like to do is hear somebody say something and then notice a behavior or a member of that certain community or group not lining up with those words. And it gives us an opportunity to judge, right? I'm saying all that to say this. Our weekend services are exactly what they are. Our weekend services are to serve the community. A lot of times people don't know where to go on a Sunday. And all they know is that a lot of times people are wanting to know God. There's something inherent or there's something built into each person that is desiring to get close to their Creator. And they know on a Sunday morning that might be the best place to get started. So our weekend services, first and foremost, are to help people know God who don't know God. Okay? And we adhere all of our weekend services to these four values. And the first is celebration. Oh, I got notes. Now, why would you think one of our four values, why would we value celebration? Anybody? I have a few reasons, but let me give you one. It's hard to think of heaven as a very celebratory environment, isn't it? When you think of heaven, I think of these choir of angels, and you think of, like, honestly, I still to this day, I think of clouds. When I think of heaven, I think of God in clouds, and I think of this, like, just everything's white, and And I don't know, for some reason, my imagination hasn't matured past that. When I try to think about it a little bit more, I'm like, let me just stick to the clouds, okay? But it's almost like it's a very happy place, but it's almost, it has this like somber type of feel and mood, right? There's like this singing, but I don't equate celebration and having a good time when I think of heaven. I'll tell you what, I went to an Astros game 2 years ago, and we were in the playoffs, and we were like, it was game 6, and it's best out of 7 games, and if we win this game, we're going to the next round of the playoffs. And throughout the game, it's back and forth, back and forth. We're playing Kansas City, and two of our guys like went up there and home runs back to back. Let me tell you, when the second guy hit a home run and made us go like the go-ahead home run, the place literally erupted like I had never witnessed before. He hit that home run, and literally every single person was, besides the Kansas City fans who made it to the game, everybody was on their feet just yelling at the top of their lungs. And I've been to a lot of sports stuff, okay? I grew up playing sports. I played in high school. I played in college. I had never witnessed that kind of energy at a game. And it was crazy to me. Now, I know you know where I'm going with this, but that is nothing, and it pales in comparison with the celebration that happens every single time a person is adopted into the family. It happens every single time you get a win, right? You receive a breakthrough. You acknowledge a victory in your life that God's given you, and you're giving him the glory. There's like an energy and a celebration that I can't even comprehend that is happening in heaven. And what we're going to do here, what we do here and make a point to do is celebrate, not just with energy and not just with yelling and clapping our hands, because we're not really, that's not really part of our culture. We could do that, but we want to replicate and imitate, but I don't know what we want to join in to that celebration that's happening in heaven, right? The second value that we incorporate into every service is inspiration. Inspiration. I'm going to just read that verse really quick. It says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. With this, what Paul is describing there in 1 Corinthians is what happens when somebody who is unchurched and doesn't know what we're talking about instantly connects with some of the truths that are being told in a service, okay? Inspiration is tapping into a universal truth that God has placed in every person. Since we are all made in his image, everybody can understand what it means to be loved as well as the pain of rejection. Everybody understands what it means. Everybody understands the weight of sacrifice, and at the same time can understand the weight of acceptance, right? So we want our weekend services to be a point of inspiration to people by tapping into truths that are universal to everybody. The third is preparation. And people like David Geyer and Matt and, you know, the worship team, even Victoria and Judah, I make it an effort to be diligent and here early on Sunday mornings. And so basically it's, I'm going to get to the spiritual preparation, but to be diligent with the gifts that God's given us and good stewards, we want to make it a point, just like God instructed the people of Israel. If you guys remember in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, there was a lot of stuff going on in behind the scenes. And if you guys ever read that, I mean, if you ever get crazy enough to actually read through those books, you'll see some, like, there were a lot of rules. Not just about don't do this, don't do this, but there were a lot of instructions to the people of Israel about how to set up the temple and the tabernacle. And it was very detailed, but God is definitely a God of order, and we want to be prepared. We definitely want to put in some preparation for that. But also, there is a spiritual preparation that we take, and just as or even more so, we value. And so coming up to a Sunday morning service, we are preparing and listening and being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And we definitely want to make it a point from here on out, even during the service, to be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit might be moving. And that is kind of weird. It kind of gets a little fuzzy. But if we all worship the same God, we're going to hear the same things. His voice is going to, it's not going to sound the same, but just like last week when I preached, and then Roy, right after service, he opened his book up and he preached the night before, because Westlake has a Saturday night service, and literally almost every single point was the same. We talked about love and stuff like that. So that's like being sensitive to how the Holy Spirit's moving, okay? And then the last is salvation. And we want the weekend service to be a place where people can experience the gospel and ultimately get presented with a message of salvation for now and for eternity. So how to win people to Christ on page 11. I'm just going to quickly go through that. One of our primary purposes is to reach people far from God. Every one of us can do our part by following these four principles. And the first is to accept that personal responsibility. Accept the personal responsibility. So as believers, if we're all believers, we have been given a great, like we talked about already, that great commission. Now we are responsible for the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. Not for the gift itself, but for the distribution. Do you get that? We're now responsible for the distribution, right, of the greatest gift that God's ever given to man, which is a way to come back to him. So we have to accept that personal responsibility, and it's a big one. You know, you can say that personal prayer to yourself and feel like, you know what, Jesus, yes, I know he saved my sins. But at some point, just like what we talked about this morning about living life on mission, there is something to distributing or to displaying or sharing. All of that's the gospel of Jesus. Okay, the second thing we do to win a person to Christ or win people to Christ is to build a personal relationship. Build a personal relationship. And when I think about building a relationship with somebody who I know Jesus loves, and I know they've been turned away and not turned towards him. When I think about that, I think about the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we want to build a relationship with somebody is that because God needs a face. God doesn't need anything, right? He says that the hills and everything in it, like the earth is his, everything. But the Holy Spirit needs a face. And we are the face, the hands and the feet. But we're also, when people look at us, they need to see God in action. They need to see God in real life. You know, the information we could learn as much as we want. But when you experience God through a person, It does something, and it leads to this. It's sharing your personal story. So you've opened up that relationship. You've given God a face through yourself, and then you shared a story which helps tear down those walls. They help tear down those walls that have been built up in people. So when I can get up here and share a personal testimony about how God's brought me from this place to this place, and it was amazing, and it was scary, and you know, I hurt a lot of people, but they forgave me, and God forgave me, and I forgave myself. That starts to tear down a lot of walls in people that are built up that don't want to go to those places. And then that leads us, after we do that, to give a personal invitation, which is necessary to lead people anywhere. You have to invite somebody to lead them anywhere. And this is what Jesus did. Even though he went around preaching the gospel, preaching something, he took those 12 men and took them by the hand and invited them to follow him and led them to salvation, right? And this is something that God, this is a tool, and this is a way we can, in our everyday life, because most of us aren't on the street corners preaching that was really popular back in the day. Most of us don't have a bullhorn or are preaching the gospel. But in our everyday life, we can first Accept that personal responsibility, start building relationships, and share your personal story, and ultimately give that personal invitation to somebody. So I'm going to skip over the journey groups, and I'm going to let Giselle talk about that in a minute. And another way that the last way we get people to know God is through missions. Now, again, I said we are a transformational church. We're not necessarily, if we were going to categorize this as a missional church, but we are still committed to reaching the people like that's described in Acts 1:8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So number one, in Jerusalem, we're talking about our city. And this is going to go from kind of micro to macro. So we're talking in Jerusalem, our city. And at the Journey, we reach our city through community outreaches, like the one coming up at our German, at the German market. So we're going to do the community pancake breakfast, which is always popular with the vendors that Sunday morning. If you need more information, just go on Facebook. And then we also support local ministries like TEAM, which is the Tomball Emergency Assistance Ministry, and also the Renewal Center, which is right down the street. And Aaron Edwards is going to be sharing with us next week and talking a little bit about that. The second, in Judea and Samaria, we're going to go a little bit larger there, and that's our county, our state, and our nation. Our county, state, and nation. And it's kind of hard for us to practically do that regularly, but one of the best ways we can do that is to financially support different partners throughout the area as well as the country. So throughout our area, we're supporting Strong Tower Ministries, which will be visiting us in a couple of weeks, Shield Bearer with Roy Wooten, Youth with a Mission in Montrose. That's Martin and Kim Dale. And we help support them with what we can to help them live their life or their calling that's on mission. And then the third, if you flip the page, to the ends of the earth would be our world. And for being such a small church, it's been pretty awesome to witness, you know, how much of an impact Les and Jim have had on the world. Really, we're talking to an international speaker, right? So we've invested in different parts of the world, and this wasn't just random places. These were places that were burning on people's hearts. So the first there, the Journey Church Panama, with the Liberty Project, more so with Jim and Sadi and Boquete. And we've heard about their whole vision and the way that God spoke to them, being called to that part of the world. I mean, that's something that was burning on their heart, and we've been able to do that. Ken and Janie Garber, who visited us, the missionaries to France. Also Project Spain with Patty and Curtis Cluett. And Impact India. And even though we partner with all of these ministries, whether it's our city, whether it's in the area, or whether it's in the whole nation, we are totally open to sending and helping anybody who would come with a vision of reaching other parts of the world with a gospel message and in some capacity. Right, and we talked about the different ways we can do that this morning. So pray about it. I don't know if you've ever had a dream of going on a mission trip. Maybe there's something that's like, maybe I should, you know what, I've always wanted to go on a mission trip. Maybe that's the Lord telling you, maybe you should maybe think about like where you would want to go and possibly planning that in the future and inviting some people from the church. It definitely is. It's a life-changing experience to be able to go to another place and not just do the work, but to see the gratitude in people's eyes when you do that kind of work, if we were on a world scale. So three things you can do. You can, number one, pray. Number two, go. And number three, give. Pray, go, and give. All right, I'm going to go ahead and jump to part two. And these last, the last three parts are going to go by a little bit faster, okay? Become transformed is the second thing we are focused on, helping people to do. And again, our weekend services are there to help people become transformed on any stage of their spiritual journey, like it says in that first sentence right there. We've seen people come through our doors who are brand new Christians and don't really know a whole lot and haven't put a lot of language to what we're talking about. We've seen Christians walk through the doors here that have been in church a long time. Wherever we find ourselves, our weekend services are helping us to become, to know God, but become closer and understand him on a deeper and deeper level. I like this part. It says, where does it say there? We give an opportunity to receive from him a message that was capable of transforming them. They're words that help us to become better, bigger, fuller people. Okay. Now I'm going to just stop right here at Freedom Classes. The second way that the Journey Church offers a place to become transformed is in our Freedom Classes. And this is something I just want to, if we were to put a little asterisk, it's coming soon, okay? Jesus not only came to save us, but he came to set us free. Salvation is an instantaneous miracle that occurs when we receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Freedom, however, is a process. Freedom is a process. We talked a little bit about that whole transformational experience, and it's not just an instantaneous thing, but it's over a specific length of time. I know after going through some of this teaching, for me personally, when I knew there were barriers and strongholds that sort of were holding that promised life that we talk a lot about, it was almost like holding it captive or holding it away from me. I know after going through some of the teaching in the Freedom Classes that I was able to put some language and some thought into why those barriers and strongholds were able to take shape, take form, and then set themselves in there and leave them in there for a long time. And our Freedom Classes are going to take place later on throughout the year. And when Jim comes in June, we're going to host our first Freedom Class session. And a lot of his teaching actually is already online on the Liberty Project website. It's on his podcast, or on his iTunes podcast channel. And we're going to kind of conjoin that with some other teaching and stuff that we've already have in place. So our third thing is our journey groups. And I'm going to go ahead and welcome up Giselle really quick. And she's going to take a few minutes to talk about. Woo! She's going to talk about journey groups and how they're going to help transform us. And why it's something that we're really going to push this year for the spring semester, the fall, and why we want to give it this much. Yeah.
So one of let's read it here. It says, the journey groups, real life change often occurs in the concept of relationships. Small groups or journey groups, in the Bible it says that in Acts 20:20, it says, how I kept nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So not only were they attending services formally in the temple, but they were also getting together in homes and discussing it and learning from each other and growing more. So relationships are something that we really strive to form and build here at the Journey Church. It's kind of one of our greatest strengths, I think. It's like we are never afraid to get together and fellowship. I mean, we stay here long after service is done, and we almost have to kick people out. A lot of times it's less. We have to say, like, that's enough. Let's go home. But there's only so much you can get from each other in those 30 minutes after church. And what our small groups do is they will give you a place to kind of harness that and get to know each other on a much deeper level. So the small groups provide three things. And the first is it provides a place to connect. Okay, but it connects us by either bringing people together with a common interest or a common goal, and allows people to be free to speak to each other, learn from each other, so a place to connect. But also having a group will kind of give you that accountability, because it's one thing to say, well, I'm going to try and connect with Caroline, which I feel like I'm always saying. I'm going to try and connect with Caroline because I know, she's a young mother and we have a lot of things in common and I love her. But if, the week goes by and I realize, oh, I haven't called Caroline. If we had a place like a new mom's group or something, then we would have almost that accountability to get together that once a week. It's on our schedule. We're going to connect at least that hour or two once a week or once a month or whatever. So another thing that it provides, is number two, is a place to protect. Now, something we hear a lot in the media nowadays, on the news and stuff, is finding like a safe spaces. We hear about like safe spaces on campuses, safe spaces in schools. And it kind of, you kind of like, oh, what a wuss. They need a safe space. But the small groups actually provide that. Because when we're connecting, people allow themselves to become more vulnerable. As you get into those relationships, you start seeing what their needs are, maybe think their struggles, things that that they're going through. I had a conversation once recently with a friend of mine who's a Christian and another friend of mine who wasn't a Christian. And the friend that was a Christian was saying, telling us some things that she was struggling in with her marriage. And as she's telling me, our friend that wasn't a Christian was chiming in, and that friend ended up going to the bathroom. And I told my friend that was opening up to us, you need to be careful who you're opening up to. Because the things, as Christians, we have certain beliefs, certain values, and although our friend that's not a Christian was trying to give the best advice that she had, they did not line up to those things that I know are true. And so having a small group, if she had a small marriage group, that would provide her a place with people that have the same values, that can guide her in a biblical sense and give her those advice, or at least show her other people that maybe they know that could have helped her. So it provides a place to protect each other from outside influences that are so easy, that maybe are coming from a good place, but maybe aren't the right thing for us. And number three is it a place to grow. And this is, what Stevie was talking about, how we're a transformative church. That is one of the things that we want most, is for each one of us to grow together. It says here in Proverbs 27:17 that iron sharpens iron. We'll get something from each other in these small groups, and all grow together. And a great thing also, going back to connect, is it's a small group can allow you to invite people that you might not necessarily think are ready for like a formal church setting. You might be able to invite people that maybe kind of give them a little bit of a taste. So how do the small groups work? Our small groups, our meet is scheduled in places all around our community and find a place for you to connect, grow, and discuss the issues or challenges in your life, like we were saying before. We have point number one, that they are free market groups. So what this means is that anybody can almost do anything. If you find what your interest is, what's been laid on your heart, that you can start a group. We have groups like we have, the traditional men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. Herman has a group. We have men's Whole and Happy Hour. Crecia was going to start a book club almost, right? Or is that still? Stevie and I are hoping to start a marriage group this week. But even things like with our tweens, like we basically have a tween small group where we took them to Boomers this weekend or last weekend, had a great time with the big kids. But the greatest thing is that anyone can host these things. So you can host it by praying about it, realizing what's on your heart, what you have to share with other people.
Okay. Yes, so if you do have a desire to host a small group, yes, we're going to start our first small group leader training. So I'm talking to Ron and Krisha and us. Yes, we're going to do that soon. We have the books already printed out, are ready to go. So, all right, let's get to the last two parts because I think we're running behind a little bit. And we'll go through this. It's the last two points. The third way that we help or focus on helping people is to discover their purpose. And so this is just going to kind of outline what we're doing here this week throughout growth month. Our growth track offers information and experiences necessary to help you discover and develop your redemptive purpose. And let's just go through all four here. So the first is connect, and that's where we are now. And this is an introduction to the Journey Church, and we're talking a little bit about our purpose as a church body. This is why we exist as a church. But this is all pointing to help you understand and discover and illuminate your own personal purpose. So before we do that, though, we need to go to number two, which is follow. And Les talked a little bit about that this morning, but follow is going to outline some of foundational doctrinal beliefs in the church, in Christian tradition, but biblically based. So these are things that we're going to cover, like spiritual habits and growth, things we should be doing as believers, baptism, and we're going to go through some of that next week. And then our third, the one that Les recommended, is actually discover, that we call, because he's leading the whole thing there. And this is where we really focus in and hone in on finding out what your purpose is. And a lot of us have already done that, but what we do is we take an assessment, a little test to kind of help us understand where we're coming from, how our personalities are made up, maybe what some of our tendencies are that we think are bad habits, but they actually could be strengths. You know, if you know that you talk a lot, then you actually could be something that has to do with talking a lot in the kingdom, right? If you're quiet and introspective and you're thinking, oh, I need to be more outgoing, that could actually be a strength in and of itself. So we'll find out aligning those strengths with the assessments, with some of your spiritual giftings, and then finding out in what places and what forms could you be using that purpose. And then, which leads us to the fourth class, which is engage. And this is specifically engaging in our community and engaging in ministry. So I'm going to go to part four because this kind of talks a little bit about that. This is making a difference. We help people transform by making a difference. All of us were created by God to make a difference in the life of another person. And I'm going to go right there to the middle. It says, at the Journey Church, we believe that every member is a minister. When we think of minister, we're not talking preacher, we're not talking teacher, we're not talking, you know, prayer warrior from the pulpit or a baptizer here, baptizing people in the water. What we're talking about are servants. We're talking about opening our time, our energy to actually what the word means ministering is serving this church, this body, which means people in this church, in this body. And once we've found what those gifts are, what we have a better idea of what our purpose is, it'll help guide us to those places where we can minister the best. Number two, every task is important. Every task is important. Let me tell you, if I get here on a Sunday morning and I haven't had a cup of coffee because nobody's made a cup of coffee, I can't function. And that's just a personal problem, okay, I'm going to have to get deliverance from. I have to go to the freedom classes for that. But even the task of just making the coffee, because I know I'm not the only one here who likes coming and getting a cup of coffee in the morning, right? Every task is so important. It doesn't matter what you're doing, because we are serving, and everything that we offer, if it's unto the Lord, I mean, I don't think any, well, we don't have to sweep here, but I remember working at a church I was before, and I just felt like, I remember I was cleaning the restrooms, and I just had to keep reminding myself that, like, I'm wiping this toilet unto the glory of God. It doesn't matter how dirty it was or how nasty it was like, okay, the pastor told me to clean the restrooms, let me do that. With a giving heart, because I knew how important that was. And every member is a 10 in some area, meaning you have something that you are perfect at doing. That means you are the person to do that thing, because God created and designed you to do that thing. There are things that Giselle, I was like, that is definitely a Giselle thing to do. Anything that has to do with serving, anything that has to do with helping people, it's like, I know that Giselle was made up to do that certain thing, okay? And you, every member is a 10 at something. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what engaging in ministry with the journey looks like, but it includes joining Team Awesome, which is what our ministry team, we've deemed ourselves, or we've called, or, you know, we call ourselves. And Team Awesome, oh, there's a typo. Okay, number one is training, all right? Every member of Team Awesome will attend an orientation or training session in that ministry area of your choice. And we're going to learn a little bit more in detail during Engage in the fourth week. We're going to complete and submit a Team Awesome application to that ministry leader or Les himself. And then have just a one-on-one meeting with that ministry team leader. If there's something on your heart, you're going to have that opportunity to do that by the end of this month. Is that exciting? Yes. All right, let me hand it over to Les, because we took a while, but there's not going to be a whole lot of writing these next two parts. Clap, 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 clap.
Man, that was really good, and I've been through it before. So, you know, Stevie said this morning something about listening to Giselle, to Victoria, singing, and how that was so exciting, and it's exciting for me to hear Stevie, but, you know, so it's more exciting for me to hear Giselle than it is for me to hear Stevie, because she has spoken once, and she's done a story. We did a journey story. Her and Ron both did my journey series. We videotaped that, and I think that's just awesome, and so hear Giselle, and if you hear something that you say, I really would like to share 5 minutes on that part over the next four, or even have a testimony for an area that you'd like to share that really impacted you, let us know. I'm going to be about 5 minutes on, then I'll save for questions. But thank you first for coming. This really helps us out. And you know, thinking about that freedom area, we have multiple different ways to seek freedom here. You might just need a conversation with somebody. But I was thinking if you have a specific area of maybe a belief or a pattern in your life, you can, Ron, raise your hand. You can actually meet with Ron. It can be before church or after church. And he has a great model for bringing people into hearing the Lord and into inner healing. And so try that out. And this first one on page 19, I know you read 18, and we'll ask questions at the end. You can have some questions. But we're guided by pastors. Stevie and I are both our pastors here. It's people that you'll see all the time. And as we grow, we'll have more pastors as God allows us or helps us grow. That's really what we're looking for on any growth is his growth. We do have, Stevie and I have pretty, what we would call mutually submitted relationships. I do tell Stevie what to do mostly, but over time, you just start telling each other what to do and how to change things like that. I remember when Stevie first started teaching, I'd go down line upon line and say, this needs, you know, you did this, He used 27 illustrations in a 45-minute message, and he only used three, and these are really good and stuff like that. And then one time we met, it was like, okay, CV, of all the things I've been telling you, now you tell me. And he was like, he didn't have anything to say, because I waited till I had a really great message, so you know. But so we talk more about that, like how is your gifting and your personality properly being used in a private conversation and teaching and stuff like that. And that's really important, that feedback one to another, and we want to have that. And I just want to encourage you, that's the number one best thing about being having a task in a church, is you have people like-minded that love you that are helping you grow into your gifting. I had a conflict area that I needed to take care of in a conversation. I felt like the Lord gave me the exact thing to say. And I told Stevie, I said, I'm going to meet with so-and-so, and I'm positive that I have what I'm supposed to say, but I don't think I have the right heart in me. And he just looked at me and said, I'm sure you don't have the right heart in you for it. And it was awesome because it made me, okay, I can wait a couple more weeks before I have this conversation. So it's like, so that's how we see, that's how I see, Stevie sees, and we see ministry is you're not looking to get on top of anything. You're just looking to be your best self. And sometimes everybody needs to submit to that voice and that wisdom. And then the second one is we're protected and strengthened by elders. We call them apostolic because it's oversight, overseers. You know one of them. It's Jim Sim. Jim is actually the only official corporate elder we would have that would have the ability to kick me out of the church. But that sounds awful, doesn't it? He has the ability to kick me out of the church. So if you have a lot of problems, you go to Jim Sim. But the other one is Tim Stone, which some of you know, three or four of you know, and he is the pastor of Westlake Fellowship. I've known Tim for 16 years, known him really well over the last 10 or 11 years. I meet with him regularly, and I trust him, and I trust him to have anybody at the church speak with him or Jim about me and about any situation. So if you look at me and say, man, he seems crazy, no, you don't go for that. If you look at me and think he's teaching wrong, or I'm worried about him, I'm worried about his mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, marriage health, you can go to Tim, or you can go to Jim Sim, or you can actually go to Stevie. So, and he will go to one of them. So there's nothing to be hidden when we're ministering together. My main job is to do my main job, is to be a man of God, not to pastor the Journey Church. That's my second place. And so we want to keep that straight. So I'm gonna skip over church government and finances, how we're set up, and unless there's questions on those. Anybody have questions? And you're welcome to ask questions about anything. We are very much want to have people ask questions, and at the same time as we ask questions, I heard this phrase. It was great. We've said it before in this way, but that we do not gather as a church because we agree on everything. We gather as a church together because we agree that God loves us and we're going to love others. Okay? That's our agreement. Our agreement is not on doctrine. It's not on politics. It's not even on morality. Although we do have find some agreement there, we're looking for love and we're looking for growth and we're looking to be transformed and move in that direction. Okay? So you should skip down on page 21 to the Journey Church Membership Covenant. And by the way, I'm not even sure how we're going to do church membership yet. I think it's just going to be, yes, I'm doing these things. I'm a member. I went to a church of about 9,000 for this conference, and their language is basically, if you're doing these things, then you consider yourself a church member, and you go to church membership things, and you have a right to speak into the church. If you don't do these things, then please don't go to our meetings, and please don't criticize us, and please don't tell us how we should do anything, because you're not part of our family. Just like you wouldn't have another family down the street that you don't know that doesn't love you, you wouldn't, and not helping you, you wouldn't have them come and talk to you. So I think we're probably going in that way. We won't have any membership cards to sign or anything. It's number one, and there you don't have to fill anything out, but I will protect the unity of my church. I love this in the first, I'm going to use this first scripture, Romans 14, 19. So let's concentrate on the things which make for harmony. Let's concentrate. Let's focus on those things. It's focus on love. It's focus on good words. It's focus on affirmation. It's focus on being godly men and women together. And then the third scripture is the 1 Peter 1:22. Have a sincere love for other believers. Man, what if our love for other believers superseded our love for doctrine or for being right? Wow, that would change a lot of things. And then the next one is I will share the responsibility of my church. I will pray for its growth. And you can mark growth there. You can put freedom is growth, numerical is growth, ministry is growth, influence is growth, finances are growth. When we look at growth at a church, we almost always look size, and we rarely look at spiritual growth. We rarely look at influence in other places outside of our local church. But for us, we do want to grow, and we will allow God to determine the growth of the church. But we want to set up in hope and faith for us to act like we are a large, healthy organization with influence, like Stevie said, around the world. If at least in Panama and in Scotland, and we know we have some, everybody that Stevie listed has been at the Journey before. We don't support anybody that hasn't ministered at the Journey that doesn't have some sort of long-term relationship with us, including Project Spain, which is my old youth pastor from 1975. That we support. So we have that. We want to keep that up. So the sharing the responsibility, which we do really well here. And then the third one, I will serve the ministry of my church. And I love, of course, this one, by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped, by developing a servant's heart. Serve one another. In 1 Peter, it says, serve one another with particular gifts God has given each of you. When we decide to discover and get equipped and walk in a servant's heart, we are really, really glorifying God. And I love that. I love seeing that more than almost anything else. I love seeing people growing and serving and being their very best. You know, for me and Krisha, I do not have the gift of hospitality, but after 31 years, you can bet when you come to our house, you will not find just a bag of potato chips with the top cut off. Because I've submitted to Krisha's gift of hospitality, and I put those things in a bowl, even if it means I have that much. It sounds silly. Half the people could care less. I go into a house, I'm like, bag of chips, fine. But half the people, like, they love me because there's good food here, and it's nice, and there's a candle burning. And we always have that in our house, even if Krisha's not going to be there. I try to always have that because that's serving not everybody, but it's serving somebody that walks in there and enjoys that. And then the fourth one, I will support the testimony of my church by attending, by living, by giving. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. There's a bunch of scriptures there, and but the thing I want to encourage you is from that scripture is I think this is what we're talking about when it's living life on mission, especially when we're together with other believers, is right here. Keep talking about the apostles' doctrine. Keep fellowshipping and breaking bread and talking about the Jesus stuff. We can be together for hours and even days and know each other for a long time and never have a spiritual conversation. Never say, how are you loving your wife to the glory of God? How are you cleaning the toilets in your home to the glory of God? You know, how are you going to work, bringing home a paycheck, and being the dad that you're called to be, that you want to be, that God created you to be, according to the glory of God? And ask those questions and talk about those things. We do that when we do the whole and happy hour for men. We're going to do that today when we go watch a movie. And I know Wednesday night when the young couples get together, they're going to do that. And I'm going to pray and close right there. If you have ask any questions, we'll ask after that. And we did go, we said it would take about an hour, so we started at 12:39, and now it's 1:40-something. So we did good. So that was just an hour. And next week we'll get lunch probably from some other place, and we'll have it here, and we'll start again quicker this next time. All right, so just bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for you, and we thank you for relationship with you, and we thank you for relationship. And I just find this so interesting, God, that it's not just relationship with you, but it's three facets of you: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we can get to know a fuller picture of you as all of those things, and as our judge and our guide and our father and our brother. and our Lord, and there's just multiple ways, and we want to be connected to you and loved by you and experiencing that love and loving others, and we want that in our community too, in our connection. We want to know each other well over time, deepening. Let us in here, right here, us in here, and us starting this year together as a journey. Let us not journey together without being connected, without loving and giving and serving, without declaring things over each other, without affirming gifts, without pulling out life-giving things, and without let's not go through this year without crying with one another or laughing with one another, Father God. But let's be connected on earth as it's going to be in heaven. Let us not wait until heaven to experience life-giving relationships that bring glory to you. And we thank you for that. That we are people who are always being given to before we give, always being brought alive and full of peace before we're asked to bring peace and to create peace. And we thank you for that. That we're being in you, finding our life in you, and we're simply overflowing and giving it out to others. Amen.